Good afternoon, everyone. My name is James Kay, and I'm coming to you from the Skype for Business product marketing team. One of the products I cover is our Skype meetings. And what I would like to do in this session is to kind of give you a top-down view, if you will, of how you can use Skype meetings and Skype for Business specifically to help improve productivity across your organization. We're going to walk through some different scenarios, some different devices. We'll do some demos, and ultimately I want you to leave here having a great sense of understanding of how you can utilize Skype for Business within anything from like a small huddle room to a large conference room to an auditorium. And then if we have time, we'll have some questions at the end. But from there, let's go ahead and jump in. So we have some stats here. A lot of folks in this room and everywhere else understand the need of online meetings. We talk about numbers all the time. So from this perspective, this was a Wayne House research study done in 2014, and they mentioned that 78% of the people that that collaborate with partners or colleagues are typically located somewhere else other than the room in which they're seated, or whether it's in the building, the next city, or even a different time zone. About 78% of the people have some kind of collaboration that's remote, not in person. Taking that to the next level, when you think about 4 to 5 people say that they work with those same individuals at least once a week. These numbers are pretty much looking to solidify the need of a technology solution, if you will, that's actually going to help you be able to collaborate on the go, in your room, et cetera. And last but not least, let's talk about the mobility. 66% of people said that they use a smartphone to attend a web conference because it gives them more flexibility. As we start to look at the evolution of the workplace, mobile meetings and on-the-go meetings actually are much more prevalent. And we see more and more people actually cutting the cord from their desk, taking conference calls in their car, as well as in meetings or even in one-on-one huddle rooms. And then last but not least, we talk about web conferencing from your mobile phone. So importance of online meetings, importance of being mobile, and moving on the go. So let's actually kind of go through some different scenarios and how Microsoft is already delivering productivity tools today. And what you see on the screen is no surprise to all of you in the room, especially here at this conference. But what we want to actually kind of drill into, or what I want to drill into, is how Skype for Business can increase productivity within these existing tool sets. And we're going to go through them through like the huddle rooms and through some different scenarios next. But let's go ahead and dive in. So from an online meetings perspective, Skype for Business is really kind of like the crux of real-time communication. And from that perspective, we're looking at it from enhancing productivity, whether you're looking to meet with a one-on-one meeting or you're looking to meet with multiple. Skype for Business is actually the product that can help you scale from one to many. And then ultimately, if we talk about meetings, they're part of this unified collaboration experience. And we'll drill into that on these next slides. Skype for Business is very versatile. So when we think about having a voice call or a video call, or whether we're looking to share content, we're able to help facilitate those meetings through a myriad of ways. From a participation perspective, you can look to, you know, whether you want to see video or content or both. I mean, typically, as a best practice, when I'm presenting or meeting with colleagues, I like to turn on my webcam, especially if I'm not in the same room or same building as them. It kind of makes it more personal. Others are a little bit more timid, and they typically like to just hide behind their badge picture or their profile photo. But ultimately, it's very versatile with regards to how it's utilized, as well as how you make your environment your own. And I mentioned before on the prior slide that participants can join from a variety of different surface areas, whether it's from your desktop, your laptop, your mobile phone, or even like a web app or the Skype Room system, which we'll talk about today. And you actually, if you were at Gurdeep's keynote session yesterday, you saw Ilya with a demo of it. We have a lot of solutions that are available to help unify your communications needs and increase productivity. That's kind of like the ultimate bottom line here. With the introduction of our cloud voice offering and our E5 suite that we launched last year, we even have a way of bringing other people into the meetings that may not have the same Skype for Business client, different platforms, utilizing the old standard PSTN dial-in capabilities. We talk about video, and I mentioned how I like to make my meetings more personal by turning on my webcam. There's been many studies that have actually shown that turning on your webcam actually has more of a personal connection and actually can have greater results or drive greater productivity from within client meetings. From the Skype consumer perspective, bringing that video experience into Skype for Business has actually been huge. There was a stat that Gurdeep had mentioned yesterday in his keynote talking about over 3 trillion minutes of video calls that have actually happened across Skype since its inception. And when you think about that, that's pretty staggering. We see video being even more prevalent today within our architecture, especially from bandwidth constraints and turning up the pipe. I mean, it's very important that we are able to provide a seamless video experience across our collaboration tools. And then last but not least, we talk about standards. Skype for Business is very standards-based, and there's some interop capabilities that we just announced yesterday here at Ignite and also that we've been able to offer in the past. So with that said, let's kind of go into the meeting space. So I mentioned, for those of you that were here yesterday, or in Gurdeep's keynote yesterday, he launched the next generation of the Skype Room systems. Very clever, very cool, touch-based system or console at the center of the room. One-touch join, no longer the need of taking 10 minutes to join a conference room or to join a conference within your conference room. And then in addition to that, it's actually based on technology that came from our Surface Hub. By show of hands, have any of you in here either used a Surface Hub or have a Surface Hub in your organization? So a few of you. For those of you that haven't experienced it yet, I really recommend that you go down to the Expo Hall, and there's in the collaboration part of our Office 365 booth, we have 2 84-inch Surface Hubs up there, and it's an amazing experience. Touchscreen, very collaborative, built-in cameras. Those also come in a 55-inch, but if you haven't actually tried the Surface Hub, I really recommend it. And I'll go through kind of the scenarios in which we expect to see one versus the other. In addition to that, like I mentioned, we support legacy systems. So when you talk about video interop, which we we launched yesterday in addition to one of our partners, we're also allowing you to bring your legacy equipment into meeting rooms that previously before wasn't an option. And then ultimately, I think this slide is meant to talk about increased productivity, talking about removing the complexities. Coming from Microsoft, Skype for Business is kind of like the foundation of everything that I do within my professional life, but it's also within my personal life using Skype versus Skype for Business. But what we've learned and what I've learned in talking to multiple folks, especially a lot of the IT pros who have installed Skype for Business, one of the things that's resonated with me the most from those conversations is that it's simplified infrastructure. It's simplified training. You take someone that has very much an experience with Skype consumer at home, whether it's talking to your friends, your family, your relatives, you bring them into work and you put them in front of Skype for Business, and it's just a natural experience. They truly understand how it works. Very similar iconography, very similar flow. It just really resonates, and it's something that we've actually heard a tremendous amount of feedback from clients around training costs, et cetera. In addition to that, enables productivity, enables your employees to work from nearly anywhere. Whether or not they have Wi-Fi, they can take voice, video, and content on your mobile phone. If they don't want to use their data connection, we can actually call them. We can join them through PSTN dialing, which is available as an offer. The idea is that we can reach your users almost anywhere, nearly any device, and that simply helps connect folks together. And in addition, if you think about the tremendous value in the amount of travel expense that's saved, it can be huge. So with that, let me kind of jump into some different scenarios around when and how you would incorporate Skype for Business into your collaboration space. So this is kind of an overview slide that talks about everything from an on-the-go scenario into an auditorium. And what we'll do is we'll kind of walk through each, but what I want to have you focus on is how the hardware requirements for each are kind of similar, but it's all about the environment in which it's set up, and we'll go through a couple of different examples. The first one here, what if I want to move from one space to another during a conversation without having to drag around devices? Or what if I want to change devices, like I'm taking a call from my laptop, but I'm on the go and I want to transfer it to my smartphone? And in addition, what if I need great quality video to project a professional appearance, especially as I'm meeting new partners or new customers? So our solution here, we're looking at the on-the-go. It's any place where remote or mobile workers need to connect, present, or conference with others. So you'll notice there's four different pieces of equipment on the screen. One's simply a Bluetooth headset. Another one is a USB webcam. In addition, we have these Jabra speaker pucks. In fact, I have one with me. I travel with it everywhere I go. That is just USB, simply plugs into my laptop, and I can have a conference call from nearly anywhere, and you can see how small they are. And then in addition to a laptop. So if we think about, you can see the framing here, people's needs, where they're working, and the tech trends. All of this stuff is mobile. Again, this right here, my Jabra puck, is USB. It's also Bluetooth. It's also got a battery in it. I don't need to worry about plugging it in all the time, or I can take the call from my cell phone. Next scenario. What if I could always find like a sanctuary for communications, whether it's with remote colleagues or even in my office? I want to create a stage. I want a place where I can actually look professional, whether it's sitting in next to my desk or there's a separate room set up for me. I just want to be able to go and have a stage set up, whether or not that includes lighting or whatnot. So we've created a theme called My Stage, and you can see here the hardware opportunities include anything from like an IP desk phone to a webcam. Again, this is a different webcam than the one before. It has higher fidelity. I might want a headset, especially if I'm sitting in an open space or I might have an open space next to my office. I don't want people to necessarily be part of my conversation. I don't want to bother them with the audio. And then another opportunity here is the Surface Hub. Again, if you haven't experienced the Surface Hub, make sure you do it downstairs. When we think about the needs for this, people want to look good. They want to sound good. So in order to have like that kind of ideal setup, these are the tools and requirements that you would need. Anything from tech needs, I want to be able to connect from a PC to a wireless device through Bluetooth. That headset on the screen could be wired, it could be wireless, etc. I want a touch screen for interactive display, Surface Hub, Perceptive Pixels, we'll talk about that on another slide. But you get the idea as we kind of go through these, as we go through these areas. What if I need a collaboration space? What if I want to have just an impromptu conversation with a colleague? Microsoft, we do these all the time. We have these huddle spaces, if you will. And what if I want a place where I might have a conversation with a colleague and I want to walk away? 10 minutes later, I might come back with a question, or 2 weeks later, come back with a question and be able to have that persistent meeting state. How and when can I do that? And so here it's the huddle, again, very similar. Similar devices, my Jabra Puck, it's made by Sennheiser. We have the little webcam if we want to bring in remote participants. The one on the screen here actually sits in the middle of the room and you can control the spin 360 degrees. Again, Surface Hub makes a great experience from a collaboration perspective. And then in addition, we have another device that actually is in the center of the desk. It's a webcam as well as a speakerphone, and it has remote control where you can control pan, tilt, zoom, etc. Again, these are, if you would imagine, except for the Surface Hub, you can almost have these devices in a drawer. Pull them out, connect them to your laptop, your Surface Pro, your Surface Book, et cetera, and you're off and running. Super simple. The idea is we want to actually foster that collaborative experience with Huddle and through different means. And then what if we wanted to actually have meeting rooms that were predictable and responsive? We don't want to have a stage that we're setting up each and every time we want to have a presentation. What if we want to have an area that is dedicated for our execs? It's a boardroom. But it's not a boardroom just for remote or just for local participants, but also for remote participants. And what if we just wanted something that works? Come in, end of the day, I want to be able to walk into a room, load up my content, and just present. And so for that, we actually are offering our next generation Skype Room systems, which Gurdeep had showcased yesterday in his keynote with Ilya and team. For those of you in the room, anyone have the old Link Room system or the former Skype Room system? One of you, a couple of you maybe. Take a look if you haven't. Again, we have the showcase downstairs. on the expo floor in the collaboration space. It's a doc that's created from, we have three partners, Logitech, Crestron, and Polycom, and it's built around a Surface Pro 4. So imagine in the center of your room, you have a fixed doc. Come in, touch screen. The best part about it is it's a Windows 10 device. From an IT perspective, it's super simple and easy to manage and to deploy. The software that's running on it is a Windows 10 UWP app. The device is actually locked down. So again, meant to be very easy to accommodate anything from a simple experience in the room to the complexity that typically can be involved with IT administrators and others actually having to deploy and manage the system. At Microsoft, we have over 13,000 conference rooms. It's a lot, and there's one group responsible for making sure that they all work. Each country, each region has their own configuration. No longer. I think next year they're predicting that of the 5,000 upgrade, five thousand of them up to Skype meetings or Skype room systems that will help from everything from the walk into the room, one touch join to connect, to being able to deploy updates and security patches for Windows 10. One of the other things that you'll notice in this room is we have, we're suggesting a Surface Hub. Again, it's that next generation conference experience. Come in. Screen turns on, you see your meeting scheduled, one-touch join, brings in everybody from the room. There's some other devices here, too. You'll notice that there's a Polycom Trio and others. What's great about the next generation Skype room systems is that it's meant to have plug-and-play capabilities. So for you, you're able to buy a basic hardware package, and then you have a myriad of selections from different hardware partners, whether you want to install a large room system, or you want to do a small room system, it's totally up to you. What if we had an interactive public surface that we could recognize, respond to touch, and let us express ourselves? What if we could celebrate stories, engage, discover, and connect with each other? This one sounds a little interesting, but this happens quite a lot at Microsoft and talking to customers everywhere else. We call this the Vibe. It's kind of a public space where anyone can share ideas, brainstorm, have different areas or times for people to get together and actually create and ideate different ideas or experiences that they're looking to bring to customers and the product development. Similar to the last couple slides, Surface Hub, again, that small collaborative space meant to bring anywhere from 2 to 5 or 2 to 8 people together at the screen. Comes in 55-inch, 84-inch, depending upon your space. We have here an IP desk phone, whether or not that's in the lobby or it's in a public space for people to make calls. Touchscreen, whether or not it's a perceptive pixel or it could be a 24, 30, 40-inch touchscreen. Ideally, we want something that's just up and running, allowing people to come in, be able to engage, et cetera. Skype meeting broadcast, or Skype for Business is kind of the back end to that. Bring in remote participants as needed, just from simply dragging them or adding them into the existing meeting. And then last but not least, what if we wanted to reach a larger audience? What if we wanted to create an opportunity to present to hundreds of people in a room and include some remote participants? So for that, we have the auditorium. And so what you'll see here, there's a couple different experiences. We have a center of room camera that has zoom, pan and tilt. We have a monitor with an integrated webcam. We also have an audio solution. So imagine if we were presenting into a room this big with remote participants, we would want to make sure if it's interactive session or we have Q&A that we have great audio quality sound. So in this case, we're looking for a professionally installed audio solution. From this perspective, the audience is typically registered to more classrooms, lecture halls, lobbies, ballrooms, event spaces, et cetera. That kind of solves the end-to-end scenario, if you will, where we're bringing collaboration from one room to another, typically with in-person experience, but also exterior or remote. But one of the things I want to highlight is something that we have called Skype Meeting Broadcast. Anyone in the room used it or have been a participant? It's an amazing technology that allows you to scale massively. You can create a Skype meeting broadcast for 50 people, for 500 people, 5,000. It scales up to 10,000 users. And one of the things that we announced yesterday was a transcription and translation that was announced during Gurdeep's session, even featuring Klingon as an opportunity or language for you to translate. But some of the key takeaways from Skype meeting broadcast is, again, it's that 10,000 attendee near real time. And for those of you that love to be able to watch things, pause things like, wait, what did he say? Did I miss that? You can pause it in real time. You can rewind it. Let's say you're 20 minutes late to the meeting. You can actually rewind. You can rewind to the beginning and then just go on from there or pause it. And like we mentioned yesterday, we're enabling transcription and translation that will be available by the end of the calendar year in preview. So if you think about what it does is we support four languages as input currently for our preview: English, Spanish, Chinese, and German. So we take the voice or the audio that comes in and we transcribe it through the power of Office 365 and Azure. So we have this feed, if you will, of this spoken language. And using the power of Office 365 and Bing, we can then translate that to over 50 languages that can then be overlaid on the video. Again, everything from English, Spanish, Chinese, et cetera, all the way up to Klingon, which was a big hit yesterday. But over the preview, yeah, I don't know that we would have much of an enterprise, or maybe we do, enterprise need for it, but a lot of folks loved it. Again, we have a demo of that downstairs, too, as well in our booth. In addition to that, people ask, like, how does Skype meeting broadcast work? There's two things that are key here. If you think about your laptop as being the source, your laptop is actually broadcasting to our Azure content delivery network. And Azure then picks up and handles the rest. For example, I'm presenting to 10,000 people. As long as they're dispersed throughout the rest of the world, I'm great. Like, I don't have to really worry about managing my own network. If I have 10,000 people in this facility and I'm broadcasting it, I might run into a little bit of an issue. So you'll notice we have here, we say it's distributed by Azure Media Services, but we have some partners, Hive and Collective, that we work with very closely that help our customers to be able to utilize their existing infrastructure without having to increase their network capacity or network equipment in order to be able to reach large offices. And they just do that through a simple peer-to-peer application that's running in the background on the machines and helps distribute. And even that affords the capability of pausing and rewinding the live broadcast. And then I like to wrap up the Skype meeting broadcast by saying it really allows you to empower your employees to ingest content on their own terms. Whether or not you ask them or you want them to join live or you let them join 10 or 20 minutes late to get caught up, it's on their own time. And we also allow them to bring their own device, whether or not it's on their desktop, their laptop, even your mobile phone, we support Skype meeting broadcast. And then soon with the preview that's coming, we're actually allowing you to view in your own language, like what's your preferred method of consuming that, the language. So let's kind of wrap up our meeting experience just for a moment. People say, well, like, when should I use Skype for business, for my Skype meeting? When should I consider kind of holding like a large meeting, and then what about even beyond? So the chart that we see on the screen actually talks about Skype for business meetings that we typically say these are good for up to 250 people. And from that perspective, I mean, and we'll show you the client in just a few minutes, it allows you to have 250 named participants. So I can see the roster, I can interact with the roster, I can choose to mute people, I can choose to unmute people. I can choose to drag participants into the meeting just as much as I can choose to remove them from the meeting. It's a named user, which is a great experience. I can also allow any of those 250 people, if I make them a presenter, to be able to upload or share or upload content, or to be able to share their screen and the rest of the meeting to be able to participate. You'll notice that each one of those 250 people can also choose to view the presenter's video, and it also allows each of those 250 people, if they want, to turn on their camera. Now, I'm not saying that we promise to show a grid of 250 people with their webcam on their screen, but what we do have is an active presenter view where it'll show you the last six people who are speaking, where you can actually see their video. And in addition to that, we have the capability to lock the what we call the spotlight onto one particular presenter. So imagine, if you will, you might have a boardroom, and you always want to see, like, okay, what's the board reacting to, or what are they saying as other people are asking questions and whatnot. So it's very flexible. We also allow PowerPoint presentation sharing. For example, you'll see in a demo we'll do, I can attach a PowerPoint to my meeting request, if you will. You can use it as a pre-read, but as you enter the meeting, it automatically is there. It's content aware. It's like, okay, James added a PowerPoint to this meeting request, so I'm going to make sure that it's ready for him to present whenever he chooses. We have desktop and app sharing. For example, I can choose to share my entire desktop with you, to where you can see everything that I'm doing, down to my start menu, my clock, my system settings. Or I can choose just to share a particular app with you. Let's say I want to show you something with an Edge, or I want to show you something with an Outlook or PowerPoint. It's going to hide everything else around my desktop except for that one application. A lot of people will do that in order to not necessarily have nothing to hide, but it's all about keeping the context and keeping people's focus on the area that's there. Also helps, too, if you are working and you forgot to close your Outlook and you keep getting email notifications that pop up that just may be annoying. And then we also have what we call our collab apps. This allows the presenter, or whoever else is listed as a presenter within the meetings, to actually be able to create question and answers. Like, we call them polls. How is the temperature of the topic that we're discussing? What are people, what's top of mind? We do a lot of it to qualify, demographic information, if you will, if we're having a meeting with partners or customers in order to help kind of direct the flow. What version of Windows are you using, what version of server, et cetera. You also notice we have PSTN access. This is what we call the public standard telephone network, where people are actually able to hear audio not through their computer, but through the telephone system. For example, your landline, or I'm on my mobile device, but I do not want to use my data. So what I'm going to do instead is actually have the system phone me. And we can show an example of that as well. Now, you'll notice all those features that I just enumerated through are available in Skype for Business. Now, we have this category called large meeting. Now, large meeting can scale up to 250, or from 250 users up to 1,000. In order to do a large meeting with up to 1,000 users, there's some configuration that needs to happen, and I want to kind of talk about the logic and the reason behind this. When we look at a large meeting that has 1,000 people, these are 1,000 named users. These people can actually chat with one another. These people, within a long chat, they can choose to turn on their webcam. Again, not that we're going to see 1,000 small videos, if you will, of people's webcam. It requires a dedicated pool setup. So if you're looking at, okay, like, well, wait, why would I use large meetings versus Skype meeting broadcast? There's a couple different areas to consider. One, do I want to be able to see the named users as they come and go? I can see a log in my conversation history, who joined, what was said, and who left. Do I want to engage them with specific content? Do I want to be able to toggle from one piece of content to the next? Maybe, maybe not. If we were to consider large meetings versus Skype meeting broadcast, it's a different experience. Our Skype for Business and our large meetings happen within our client. As a presenter or as an attendee, we have our Skype for Business client installed on our machine. Or if you are an attendee and you don't have the client installed, you can use it through our web app. But from a Skype meeting broadcast perspective, the presenter comes from the Skype for Business client on our desktop. You, as the attendee, actually view it through your web browser, whether or not it's Chrome, Edge, Safari, Firefox, Internet Explorer, et cetera. It's a different experience. So again, if I want to be able to collect feedback, or I want to be able to allow people to chat with one another, there's a distinction there. I've never had a customer say, I want a large meeting for 1,000 people so they can all chat with one another, because that defeats the purpose of the meeting. Within the Skype meeting broadcast, there's a couple things to consider. It makes it super simple, if you will, to have a company meeting. Like Satya at Microsoft, we use Skype meeting broadcast for his company All Hands. And what's great about it is when he's done with his session, it automatically saves to Office 365 video and to our own internal tools, and it's protected. You have to be a Microsoft employee or have a Microsoft account in order to access it. You can use metadata in order to tag specific qualities within the video that I can then surface and delve. So it's kind of like this end-to-end ecosystem that ties everything together from our CEO needs to get a message out to its employees. They're all not going to be available in the same time zone. So typically what happens is he schedules one during one quarter early in the morning. He schedules one the next quarter early in the evening to kind of accommodate. But for everybody else, we know that if we're not available to watch it live, we can watch it on demand. And as I mentioned with the Skype transcription and translation that's coming, that'll be even more important for the Microsoft employees that are external to Redmond, that their native language may not, or their preferred language may not be English, but it could be German, it could be Spanish, it could be Dutch, et cetera. And unlike Skype meeting broadcast, Skype for Business and large meetings, you have to be present. You can't pause. Well, you could pause. You could ask everybody to wait while you take a call, but it's just different. So I wanted to make sure that I highlight this slide. I saw some of you take a picture of it. Great. After the session and probably beginning tomorrow or Thursday, you'll be able to download this from my Ignite. And then also, one thing that to call out here was we have this meeting producer role. So I talk about, in the regular Skype for Business client, we have the role of a presenter and an attendee. And there's a big distinction that I want to make here. There's two things that are happening. As a presenter, I might be sharing my desktop, or I might be in control of the roster. I can choose to mute and unmute individuals. The role of a producer, or what we call our event team, is important because within Skype meeting broadcast, and I think we'll have time, and I'll, if anything, I'll show you almost in real time how you would actually set one up, or I can even show you an example of one. You can add Bing Pulse to it, as an example. You can actually push real-time polling to your audience. What's your age? What's your demographic? You can even do what Bing Pulse. So we saw some of the debates last night, or the debate last night, and a lot of some of the networks actually had people with the dial in their hand, like, oh, loved it, hated it, whatever, and you could actually kind of see the needles going across the screen in real time as people are reacting. What a great way to get instant feedback from your users using Skype meeting broadcast with the power of Bing Pulse. In addition, for those of you that use Yammer, you can have Yammer integrated within Skype meeting broadcast. You can choose to, we have the right rail, it can either be Yammer, it could be your Bing Pulse, or you can do your Yammer down below the video in order to spur conversation. And last but not least, you can use what we call our Q&A manager. As a member of the event team, whether you're the producer or you're just an event team member, you're able to moderate questions and answers. So obviously, we want to protect your image, your reputation. So as people are asking questions on the Skype meeting broadcast, they're going to a moderator. And the moderator is able to rephrase the question, they're able to choose to not answer the question, or they can delete the question, and they're able to answer it in real time or just put the question through. And what actually ends up happening is people, for the unanswered questions, people can vote. Hey, yes, I want the answer to this. I want the answer to this. And as a moderator, you can choose to then go through and answer those questions. And it's persistent, so as people join later, they're able to go through to see the history just as much as the Bing Pulse. If you were to join 5 to 10 minutes into it, you're able to get caught up on the questions that you may have missed. So with that said, let's jump into some demos. So I'm going to invite up to stage Tamor. Tamor is one of the great folks in the field who have traveled the world talking to customers. And as part of that, he's really great at demoing solutions. Yes, demoing solutions and showcasing Skype for Business.
Hi everyone, welcome here. Thanks so much, James, for having me up here. We've got a few demos to show you, a couple of scenarios that we've sort of thought up of from a meeting join perspective. Obviously, James and I working for Microsoft, this is we live and breathe this product, not just because of the fact that we work in the team, but also because it helps us be more productive every single day. So we're going to sort of start with some of those scenarios. Let's log in here for a second. So we've got a few ways from a meetings perspective on how we actually both participate in meetings and consume meetings. So we're going to run through some of these scenarios to show you all the sort of life cycle of a meeting. One of the things that we talk about is that, you know, a meeting doesn't actually exist only from start to finish. It exists from time of conception to forever because you have notes and so on. So with that, can you switch me over to number? Do you know where you're going? Yeah. I'm actually going to duplicate my screen because we've got so many clients and stuff that we're going to show you. One of the things that's kind of interesting about Skype for Business is you guys have already probably seen the client and so on. I myself am most productive in Outlook, and Outlook is the tool that I use to triage emails. It's the first tool I open up as I wake up in the morning or as I'm starting work. So we're actually going to start this in Outlook. In this particular example, you see my Outlook up there. You see an email that I've received from Alex Wilbur. In this particular case, I'm Ben Walters. And I've got an email from Alex Wilbur saying that he wants to talk to me about a Contoso marketing update. And I'm able to see that Alex is available. So I'm going to go ahead and start an IM conversation straight from this email. I don't have to ever go to the Skype for Business client. And you'll notice a couple of things. As soon as I open this IM window, you also see the context of this IM window. You'll see the subject of the email kind of appears in that header of that message, which is kind of a nice touch, so that Alex, when he gets my message, will automatically know what this is about. It's about the email that he sent to me earlier. So I've sent off a message to Alex, my lovely assistant, who is at the moment, James is Alex. So he's going to be able to sort of reply to that message, and we'll get a conversation going. Now, when we get a conversation going, obviously we talk a little bit about modalities and how we escalate through modalities and how we get there. In this particular case, I don't want to waste any time. It seems like there's a lot of urgency around this particular email. So we're going to go ahead and escalate modalities all the way to video. So I'm going to go and start video. Since I know that Alex is there, I have a little bit of a video preview that I can check to make sure everything's okay, all the hair is in place, I don't have any weird things on my face, and then I can go ahead and start the video in that particular aspect. So Alex is going to receive this request. He's going to start the video as well. We can see that that Alex is there. Now, this is a great experience, right, to go from email straight to IM, straight to video within a few seconds, to be able to have that continuous conversation. But in the context of meetings, I want to make sure that we understand as well. So what I'm going to do is we're having this conversation with Alex and myself, and we realize that we need the help of a third person to be able to resolve the issue that we had. In this particular case, we're going to invite my colleague Christy, which is here, Christy C. So I'm going to go to my Skype for Business client in this particular case, and I'm going to look for Christy C. I'm just trying to make sure, Christy Klein, there she is. Just trying to make sure that I get the name right because this is a demo tenant that we're using. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to invite Christy to the meeting. And there's a few different ways to do that. The way I typically like to do it is I like to drag and drop because it's a very, very intuitive, very seamless experience. So you see this participant list that we have here. Right now you see Alex and Ben in that participant list. I'm just going to take Christy, and I'm going to drag her. I'm going to drop her into that participant list. Very, very easy. And I could have dragged and dropped many, many people in order to be able to do that. I could have dragged a group of people as well to do that. And what's happening right now at the back end is it's gone, and it's created a conference, and it's already got Alex and myself in that conference, but it's also invited Christy. So you can see that Christy's now joined. She's over audio. I'm actually going to start her video as well, so you can see her video come through. So this is Christy. We'll show you the client later, but this is Christy as well. I know there's only two people, but we're trying to be three. It's kind of weird. But generally speaking, that's sort of an ad hoc meeting experience, right? We needed a third person in there. We dragged that third person in there very easily. We could have dragged and dropped multiple people. We could have also dragged PSTN numbers. So I could have just put a PSTN number in that field and dragged that in and just add an audio channel as well. So there's a bunch of different things that we can do over there. The other thing I wanted to quickly show you is content, right? So the other thing that we can do is obviously we've got the audio channel, we've got the video channel, and we've got the IM channel. But we can also add much more richer interactive pieces to this meeting as well. In this particular example, I'm going to actually add a whiteboard because we can always do the PowerPoint and so on. Sorry, I'm just going to add a whiteboard to the meeting. So when I add the whiteboard, then Alex, myself, and Christy, we can then quickly take up our pencils. I use a Surface Book. but I don't have my pen with me right now, but we can essentially draw on here. We can try and figure out what's happening. We are very unimaginative at Microsoft. I always start to draw a face when I do demos. So, you know, anyway, generally, we can coordinate on this. We can throw graphics on this. We can save this whiteboard. We can email it to the participants. We can do a bunch of different things. We can add polls. Obviously, we can add any of the content that we want to share, like presentations, desktop, programs, primary monitor, secondary monitor, and so on. So a lot of really rich capabilities to be able to do that. The other thing that we can do, just to sort of wrap up, is I can also record this meeting. So if you go over here, you can see that there's a recording session over here. So I can start the recording, and then when the meeting is done, I've stopped it. And then Skype for Business has this recording manager built in. So when you stop that recording, it automatically takes all of the workloads, so the whiteboard, the video, the audio, the IM channel, and converts it into a really cool video file. And that video file can then be uploaded to SharePoint. So if somebody wants to consume this particular conversation later, they can do that. If either if one of us want to go back and say, hey, what was said in that meeting, or somebody else who wasn't able to be present to figure out what was discussed, can actually go ahead and see that. So that's a pretty fully functional, you know, ecosystem of that meeting. So I'm going to stop there because this is a sort of an example of an ad hoc meeting. But Alex is going to talk to you about
scheduled meetings.
Cool.
Perfect.
Want to switch over?
Yes.
To 8.
So as Tamor mentioned, he loves Outlook. I love Outlook, and unfortunately, I spend way too much time in there. But as we want to start to talk about, okay, I know that I can now do Skype meetings using Skype for Business, and I can actually do them up to 250 people. Let's talk about what are the next steps. So from my dock within Outlook, I can either choose to go to New, and I can go down to Meeting, or I can also do this from my Outlook or my calendar view. You'll notice here I have a typical meeting requester. This is almost like an email that I would send to anyone. I can go through and I can choose to pick folks from my address book. I'll choose Ben here. And I can actually go into to start typing. I'll say quarterly results. Location. Typically, I would either put in a huddle room or I would say call me. But because we have Skype for Business, I'm able to actually click up here on the Skype meeting icon. And it's going to pre-populate my meeting request with some what we call Skype coordinates. You notice there's a join Skype meeting here. There's also a join by phone with a toll number. I've chosen not to have a toll-free number, but if I had upgraded my tenant and included one, it would appear there. Then there's also this ID, or this conference ID. At this point, you could typically send it out. I could send this to one person. I could send it to 10 people. I can also send this to distribution lists. I can send it to folks internal and external. But let's say that I wanted to make sure that, as I'm inviting Ben to a meeting, I want to make sure that only he and I can present content. So how would I do that? Well, at this point, I'm able to go up here and click on meeting options. And you'll see that we have a couple areas here. One of them is permissions. These people don't have to wait in the lobby. So as an example, if I were to include someone that's outside of my company, and I haven't started the meeting yet or I haven't joined, they're going to wait in a lobby. It's a virtual lobby. They're prompted with the message that says your Skype meeting will join shortly. What's great about this is people from the company can all join, talk, we can set it up, we can do whatever we want to, and then as we want, we can incorporate folks one by one. And at this point, I can say, only me, the meeting organizer, people I invite from my company, anyone from my organization, or anyone without restrictions. So depending upon the level of sensitivity of the information you're sharing, you might want to adjust these settings accordingly. And also, from the same way that you would choose who you want to allow into your meeting without going through the lobby, you can do the same thing as a presenter. Me, people I choose, anyone from my organization, et cetera. And so if I were to say people I choose, I can then go here and choose presenters. And you'll notice that Ben's the only one on my to list, so he's the only one that's available. But imagine I had 15 people here I can choose just to add Ben as a presenter. And I mentioned the fact that we might be able to have a roster of up to 1,000 people within Skype meetings, but could you imagine how carried away it could get if all 1,000 chose to chime in with a comment? So at that point, you're able to limit participation. Great example of that is disable IM. I don't want instant messaging to happen while my meeting is going on. Another one is muting all attendees. I'm sure a lot of you folks have different experiences where people join your meeting and it's like, who's not muted, et cetera. And we'll highlight that in just a moment. And then you can also block attendees' video. But you'll notice it says presenters can share audio and video. So again, if we had 250 people in our meeting, we might only want to allow two or three of them to have their video camera turned on. And so presenters automatically can do that, but we can block people from doing so. You'll also notice that there's opportunities are to customize the phone. At this point, the conferencing provider is Microsoft, but if you were to go in as a tenant admin, you can set it up in the back end to use a different one. Here's your conference number and your conference ID, and then that's pretty much it. So you'll notice at the bottom we have remember settings. If this is how I want all my meetings customized moving forward, I can choose remember settings, but at this point I'm just gonna say okay. And remember that I chose Ben as the presenter. At this point I can type the text, looking forward to discussing, I can type today. Discussing.
You know you don't have to get the spelling
future
right.
Future results. I know. We have that autocorrect.
That's true.
Keep forgetting. So at this point, I can choose to send. Now, what's great about this is it's automatically going to show up on my calendar. And if I were to go over here to my to-do bar and show calendar, you're going to see a couple things happening. Looks like I have a Contoso client meeting today. It started at 12:30, but then there's also the meeting I scheduled with Ben at 1:30. Quick preview pane here. Gives me an idea of what I have coming throughout the day. And also, you'll notice I don't have anything tomorrow, but I do on Thursday. And I get that same view from my calendar over on the calendar view if I were to pivot on like work week, et cetera. So whether or not we want to do an ad hoc, as Tamor did from escalating from an email, or doing a scheduled mail from scheduled meeting from Outlook, there's lots of options.
Cool. So just leave it for a second. So one of the cool things about working in the Skype for Business team is, you know, way back when we started sort of doing some of this stuff, we decided that we want to kind of be platform agnostic because communications only works if we are platform agnostic. So we've got a bunch of different ways to join these meetings. I know you saw my desktop Skype for Business client join that meeting, and we've got Outlook over there running on a PC. That's going to join the meeting as well. But we've got ways for people to join, even if you don't have desktop PC clients and desktop PCs in front of you, right? We've made sure our clients and the join experience and the meeting consumption experience exists across all devices and also all locations, right? You don't have to be in the office. You can be out of the office. You can be traveling. As long as you have internet connection, you can join these meetings. And also, as long as you have a device and all of the devices that we support, you can absolutely join that meeting. But the important thing is we don't want a person on a mobile device or a tablet device or somebody who doesn't have a client to be a second-party citizen in that meeting. All the stuff that we showed you in that client should be available to you as you join those meetings. So we're going to show you a couple of different clients that are joining these meetings. I'm going to show you a mobile client. In this particular case, I have an iOS client. That should pop up on the screen over there. So this is a Skype for Business iOS client that you're seeing. It's kind of a really cool interface. For those of you who remember, Gurdeep showed this this client as well with the CallKit integration in iOS 10. Well, this is kind of nice. So this is Christy. If you remember Christy from the previous meeting, this is the same one. She's got a cool view of all the recent conversations that she's had, but she's also got an upcoming view of the next meeting that's coming up for her. So she doesn't have to go anywhere from that particular screen. She can just interact there. If I did want to actually go see, take a look at her calendar, poor Christy, she only has one meeting scheduled. But that's what I would say. I would see all of her meetings at that particular time. So in this particular case, it's this one meeting that I'm going to join. I'm going to go ahead and click that join button over there. And you'll see that it'll do all the needful in terms of joining that meeting. It'll dial up that bridge and so on. And it's also just an audio meeting at that moment. But Christy also then has the ability to go ahead and start video in that meeting. And you can see that Christy's video is up on that meeting. And I have joined as Ben, and I will turn my video on as well. So you will be able to see Ben in that meeting. So this is Christy's own view, and she's going to see Ben's video. I know it's kind of weird, right? So maybe I could do a hand here just so you see the difference between Ben and Christy. And obviously, I like to consume my meetings in sort of a landscape view because it gives me a little bit better. Wow, I look terrible, by the way. It's not very nice. But anyway, so that's kind of the view from a meeting perspective. Now, this is kind of cool to have these two people and to have them join that meeting. We're also going to show you another particular client that can join the meeting as well.
Yep.
Do you want to show them?
Absolutely.
Number five. Yeah.
Oh, my presentation's still going in the background. Yep. Perfect. So for those of you that don't have Skype for Business, you've received a Skype for Business meeting, sometimes it can be frustrating, like, do I download the client or do I not download the client? Or in this case, I'm on a presentation machine that may or may not have the client installed. So I'm going to join that same meeting over here, and for this sake, you can say I'm actually overdue. I have this join online link here. I can also get that same link through my calendar. And if I click join, I get presented with an option. You'll notice I have the client here, but just for pretend sake, let's say I didn't. And it's going to prompt me to go into the web app. So at this point, I can choose to download. We have a very lightweight Skype web app. You can choose to install it. It's already installed on this machine. And then I can simply click join the meeting. So within this, and it remembers my name, I'm Adele on this machine.
So this is a guest unauthenticated join experience, right? These are for your customers who don't belong on your authenticated tenant or your on-premise infrastructure.
Yep.
This can be pretty much anyone with a name.
Yep, great point. Now imagine, remember in my roster, I said I want to make Ben a presenter. I don't want anyone else to be a presenter. And in this case, let's say Adele, I want to make her a presenter, but she doesn't have the client. So in this case, if she were to just simply type in her name and hit join the meeting, she's going to get joined as an attendee. She can also click on sign in if you're an Office 365 user through the same process where she's then going to be an authenticated user. And because I've made her a presenter, she's going to be able to have all the same meeting controls that she would have using her client available to her in this web app.
Hey, James, do you think this is the same Adele that's the popular singer?
No. So at this point, I'm going to just click join. And you'll notice here within this window, this looks very similar to the client that Tamor has on his machine. Video, I can choose to enable my video. Again, this is all within the web app. There is no need to actually install any client other than the lightweight. And you'll notice that, is that your camera or mine?
Can't do it.
I joined on my, I joined.
I'm trying to get the audience in the meeting.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, you can see yourself up there.
Yay.
We can look at participants.
You guys
here.
Want to wave to the meeting? You guys are going to be on the recording. It's going to be fun. There you go. Yeah.
One other thing to call out on this view, there's a couple, but we'll start with, you'll notice we have the differentiation between the presenters. So we have Ben and Christy, and we also have the attendees as Adele. You'll notice that we have some options here. You'll notice that there's an IM that's kind of lit up. It's blue. That means that participant is available for an IM conversation. Now imagine if I joined from my mobile device, but I asked it to call my cell phone number versus using my data for the connection. That's not going to be lit up, so you'll know that I'm not available for an instant message. You'll also notice that there's a microphone that has a line through it. No more guessing as to like whose dog's barking in the background. You can actually see the noise coming from the microphone to let you know that either their microphone is unmuted or that they're talking. That third icon, the video, means that their video is lit up. So if I were to actually go in here and shut off my video, you're going to see that there's a pause sign where my video icon used to be. This is a great way of understanding, okay, I have more than six people on the meeting, but who's got their video turned on, and I can choose to go in and do that. And then last but not least, we have the monitor. You'll notice that the monitor is lit up. That means that someone's presenting content, which in this case is the blue one, the light blue one, and that everyone else has theirs lit up. And what that means is there might be a lot of time where you might share your screen and you say, can everybody see my screen? And there's usually like someone that says, no, give me a minute. Everyone else is like, I got it. You can actually visually see when that content actually shows up on their screen. And again, I'm on the web app. This is the same functionality that I can get on the web or the actual Skype for Business client.
I sometimes get confused. They look so similar that I don't even know if I'm on the web client or on the first class client. So that's kind of interesting. And obviously, the controls, I was advancing the slides, as you could see, and if I interact with the slides, if I sort of do annotations and stuff like that on there, James will be able to see on his particular, in the meeting as well, that I'm annotating on the slides and so on. So that's kind of cool, and I can see the same on the sort of mobile client experience that you can see, if it's up there yet. Yes, it is. Yeah, so this is the mobile client that you're seeing over there, and I have the same experience that I have in the rich client, that I have on the web client and on the mobile client. You can see I can advance slides. I can interact with the meeting. So I'm a first-class participant in this meeting from all the content that's being presented as well.
One other thing that I'll call out is you'll notice that the PowerPoint was just there. I talked about being able to upload or to include a deck or content in my meeting request. So the deck that you see on the screen was actually included in the invite that I sent. And Tamar was able to click on the monitor icon on the bottom part of his screen and choose to manage content. And it was just sitting there, so all he had to do at that point was to activate it. For those of you that have tried to upload decks in the past, kind of on the fly, it sometimes takes time for that deck to upload, and then it has to process and kind of create each of the slide views. And so in this case, it's done ahead of time and a huge time save in order for you to start your meeting on time.
Yep. And there's a bunch of different controls for this content as well. I can stop presenting it. I can lock it. People can download that content so they don't have to bother you. Oh, can you send me the deck and the email? No way. You can just download it straight from the meeting here as well. So that's kind of a full. Did we touch on everything that we wanted to touch on?
I believe so. The one other thing that I will call out, and Tamar kind of alluded to it, was around presentations of content. If we choose to upload a PowerPoint deck, you can choose to allow people to download the content. You can choose to not allow them to download the content. Now, Tamar is the presenter on his screen, and I'm still joined over on my end. Let me pull it up from my client over here. I want to show you kind of a cool feature. Some people are a little fickle with it, but it allows you to jump ahead. So for those of you that are like, okay, get to the good stuff, the capability is there. For those that don't want folks to get to the good stuff, you can also lock that down as well. So I don't have to show that to you. Anything else you wanted to cover?
No, that's it. That's all I've got. I mean, obviously, we've got this really great experience. I just locked the video spotlight because we can do, you know, HD video, full screen, really good experience from that perspective as well.
But because we have a few minutes, I want to actually show you the Skype meeting broadcast that was done yesterday as part of Gurdeep's keynote. Was anybody here in Gurdeep Singh Paul's keynote? A few of you. Okay, I want to just show you the video. I talked about the Skype meeting broadcast. And Skype meeting broadcast is
I'm just having fun over here.
Is the, you know, allows you to go up to 10,000 people.
So just for your recap, our regular meeting experience, 250 people. This can be online or on premise. There is a way you could go up to 1,000 people with a dedicated pool on premise, or the Skype meeting broadcast experience, which is up to 10,000 people. So really large scale delivered media across the world. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. So at this point on the screen, you can see that I can choose to just join the event, or I can choose to sign in as an event team member. Now, this is a distinction I made before. If I join as just click the green button, I'm going to see this in my web browser. But if I join as an event team member, it's going to load up in my client. And there's a couple reasons for that. I'm able to control the spotlight. I'm able to control who's speaking, who's not speaking, et cetera. But most importantly, as an event team member, I can choose to be a member of the Q&A manager. I can also help be able to facilitate the Bing polls, et cetera. But for the sake of this conversation, I just want to join the event to show you capabilities here. So let me just. So what was happening in the keynote yesterday was Gurdeep was presenting in one session, and simultaneously we had
Kirk
Koningsbauer, our the office CVP of marketing, in another. What we wanted to do was to be able to show how you could transport yourself from one place to another virtually, and also at the same time highlight transcription and translation. And so what we're going to see here is the video of Kirk going, and I don't know if we have video coming across. We don't need it. But ultimately, we see him, he's not speaking. We have this closed caption button down below where I can click, and I can choose to go to English. And so what we're going to see here in just a moment is this is real-time transcription. Real-time. We've had a lot of companies that say, when can we start to test this? Because we have some people with hearing disabilities, and we love them, and we have people that will close caption our company meetings, but we want to be able to do it for people that are geographically dispersed. They love this idea. Now, you'll notice this is in English. This is, and the quality here in terms of accuracy is extremely well from an English perspective. Again, we support four languages, English, Spanish, German, and simplified Chinese for preview to start, but we're going to scale that as a preview goes. We want to make sure we hit a certain threshold of quality with each language. But let's say that I want to see this in Spanish. So instantly, that caption just changes straight to Spanish. Now you'll notice this happened yesterday. So I talked about being able to save that video within Office 365. I can tag it with metadata, I can look at it later, come back, et cetera. But imagine this event was in real time. I could choose to pause it, rewind, fast forward, et cetera, up to the live point. And as everyone loves downstairs in our demo booth, you can see the power of a Skype meeting broadcast with transcription translation in, from English to Klingon on your screen.
I do speak Klingon. That looks absolutely accurate.
Perfect. There you go.
So we have about, sorry, were you done?
I'm just done, yeah.
We have about 8 or so minutes left. We're happy to take Q&A now for the rest of the 8 minutes, and then a monitored Q&A with mics, and then afterwards we're available after the session as well. So if you have any questions about meetings, Skype for businessy stuff, happy to take anything. Just ask that if you could walk up to the mic because the session is being recorded.
Before the Q&A, let me just go through a few extra slides here. For those before they leave, related sessions. These are the ones that I think are related to folks who are interested in learning more about Skype for Business. We have the understanding how devices are certified for Skype for Business and why it's important. For example, we all have a microphone and speaker on our laptop. One of the worst experiences you can do on a conference call is to use that mic and speakerphone because it's not compressing your audio to send it over the wire. Using a certified device actually does that for you. We have two customer stories, one featuring Cushman & Wakefield tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We also have one featuring Kelly Services Thursday at 2 o'clock as well. For those interested in Skype meeting broadcast, that technology that scales up to 10,000 users, which I just showcased at the end, Jeff Tyler, who manages Microsoft Studios at Microsoft for all of our broadcast meetings, is going to be sharing tips and tricks with Greg Baribault, who is the product owner for that within Microsoft Engineering. Great session, I highly recommend it. And then Friday we have an ultimate, like meet the communication needs of users with Skype for Business. And so if there's a particular area you want to drill into a little bit more, they'll be able to cover it there. But last and certainly not least, the Skype for Business team is downstairs in the expo hall. We have two Surface Hubs. We have the new next generation Skype room systems, as well as a ton of talent to help walk you through and answer questions. And then for those of you interested in the new next generation Skype room system, we have a giveaway. We're giving away 5 of these devices. All you need to do is simply take a picture of the device downstairs and either tweet it or post it to Instagram with the hashtag meetingaccomplished. Or you can also go to skypemeetingaccomplished.com, enter to win. And we don't have the devices with us today, but they'll be shipping in the next few weeks once they're released. Join the Skype for Business community. For those of you that are existing Skype for Business users and you want to learn more about how you can become more involved, or those that are very interested in becoming, this is a great resource for you to join, ask questions. You can go through to look at other questions that folks have asked previously. And then last, but certainly not least, it would not be an Ignite session without the obligatory, please evaluate the session. Your feedback is important to us. So with that said, thank you so much for joining today. I will be around for questions. Tamara will be around for questions. And if not, we'll see you downstairs in the booth. Thank you.
Cool. There's a question. Yes, sir. You had a question? No, you can use the mic. We have time.
Any integration with OneNote as far as whiteboarding or other taking notes online without sharing the screen?
That's a great question. You want to repeat it?
Yep, so the question was, is there any integration within OneNote without having to share your screen? So I would say the answer to that is yes. There's two different areas to consider. When you're thinking about OneNote, like you and I are desktop to desktop on the phone or whatnot with each other, as you're typing, it's updating almost in real time on my end. Kind of. When you bring that into your screen sharing, you can either choose to share your desk or you can choose to share your OneNote as a program. So that actually would go across the wire and would be in near real time. One thing I didn't actually mention, and shame on me for doing so, video-based screen sharing. I'm not sure, are you an existing Skype for Business user? Old technology within Skype for Business used RDP. RDP is great from a screen sharing perspective, but it's a bandwidth hog. And so we've actually changed our change the protocol to actually be video-based screen sharing, which uses, it's much more efficient with its bandwidth. So if you joined a Skype for Business meeting before and you're like, this is really lagging behind, try it again. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Just one thing to add to what James said. When you're scheduling the meeting when James is showing it to you, at that time, you can add, there's a button called Meeting Notes. And you can add that, and that creates a sort of a new OneNote page that everybody that's invited to the meeting can collaborate in advance. So you can put action items, agenda, all of that kind of stuff there, and people can collaborate in advance of that meeting so that when you come in, you've got a fresh set of notes to talk about, right? So that is absolutely there. Native integration is part of the Outlook and OneNote integration.
And check out the Surface Hub downstairs. The OneNote integration with that's awesome.
Yep. Cool. Yes, sir.
So Skype for Business supports co-authoring, right? So
with that
in mind, if you have a meeting with an external user that doesn't maybe have access to the document, is that magically put somewhere that they can co-author?
Absolutely. So if you think about sharing your documents today, you can choose to share them with anyone within your organization, or you can choose to share them with anyone with a Hotmail account or like with a Microsoft account. You can also choose to send them a link. And the link in the link is an embedded guest token, and you're able to control it as the document owner, whether or not it's read-only, write-only, and at any certain point, you're able to remove the access by just going into the document properties. So utilizing that same sharing technology or that foundation for authentication, whether it's with the link or not, co-authoring does exist. Mm-hmm. And just as Tamor had escalated a meeting from Outlook, and I don't know if you guys caught it, in the subject line of the email came across my my Skype for Business alert with the subject line built into it. So I had context already. That same elevation could happen from within Word. Or that same elevation could happen from within any other Office document. Like he might see, like, I'm in the meeting, and he can choose to click, and actually I can show you. Well, actually not on this machine because it's on a demo tenant. If there's multiple people in the document, there's a simple button you can click, it's a Skype button, that'll instantly pop open a Skype for Business chat window with all of those attendees there. And you can choose to either have an IM conversation, voice, and or video. Typically what we see is people will escalate immediately to video and then share their screen, and it's like, no, I'm in that paragraph, or can you save the file? I can't get into it. So, which we've done a great job of blocking those. Can you get out of the file because I need to get into it with our modern collaboration and authorization, or modern co-auth capabilities.
Couple questions for you. If you want to open up your PSTN audio bridge, did I understand that you put it in the chat window and that's what's going to open it up? Or how do you add your PSTN?
How do you add?
So your PSTN audio bridge, I assume you can add that in addition to the Skype audio?
Yes, so you have Skype for Business as your meeting solution, but you might use a separate ACP.
Yeah.
In the back end of Skype for Business or within your tenant, whether it's and on-premise, you can do it, or whether it's using Office 365, there's an admin portal where you're able to go through, and we have the list of the providers, and if they're not there, you're able to add your own.
No, but once the meeting starts, how do you open up that
got it. Let me show you that, because I can do that really quickly.
Because I think you said at the time you drag a number in there, and
yep, it'll, the same thing would happen if I'm in a meeting.
Let
me just join this one. There's two things that can happen. One, you'll notice here, right when I joined, it says, do I want to use Skype for Business audio? This is using VoIP. I can choose to say, call me at my work number, and I can also populate this with the mobile number, or I can say new number.
But in your Skype for Business meeting invite that you had an audio bridge set up with a thing. How, as the presenter of the meeting, do you open up that bridge?
So,
can you open up the Skype audio and the bridge within the same meeting?
So Skype for Business has its own audio bridge. So when you set up that meeting, we set up the audio piece, the video piece, all of that kind of stuff. There's nothing additional for you to do other than to join that meeting, and all of those modalities are open. Now, I think your question is, if you have your own ACP provider and you're using a separate bridge other than Skype for Business, that becomes a little bit trickier.
Right.
If you're an online, for example, we have some third-party ACPs that we provide integration with. Mm-hmm. So you would automatically pick that ACP when you're scheduling that meeting, so that audio bridge information would automatically be populated in the invite, and that bridge is open when that meeting is scheduled. So there's nothing additional for you to do. Right? Now, if you have people coming in your on-premise environment, just coming into your, dialing into your gateway from your telco lines, you can point that particular telco line to the Skype for Business audio bridge, right? So you're still using Skype for Business as an audio bridge. There's nothing additional you need to do to open that bridge at the time of the meeting.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
If you have a scheduled meeting like you did, scheduled, and you record it, does the link to the recording populate back into the calendar invite?
It does not. That's up to you as the presenter to control. So,
like
for example,
there's an option to do it or not?
So once you, so you record it,
yeah,
the file stays locally on your machine. You could then choose to upload that to your Office 365 video. You can choose to post it to a SharePoint or to a Teams site. That all happens with you.
Okay. All right. And another question. Do you have any plans to integrate Skype for Business with Dynamics CRM?
There are lots of partners who actually are doing that. And so part of my remit is online meetings. The other part is the developer platform where I work with a lot of our partners in terms of developing solutions, for example, like contact centers. We have a lot of contact center partners who build their infrastructure on top of Skype for Business to be able to connect their agents with other SMEs that may not be a call center representative, but can help. You can drag them into the call, IM, voice, video, et cetera. But a lot of them do build solutions on top of Dynamics CRM. From a specific Skype for Business capability to integrate within Dynamics CRM, there's a myriad of opportunities to do so. So it would depend upon what you're looking for. Typically what we see is there's a lot of like click to call, I'm at a contact, I can click their number, the Skype for Business client automatically loads up and you just, with one more click, it'll dial them directly. Within, and this is kind of getting outside the bounds of this meeting, but within the Skype for Business client, you'll notice how we have the actual content window. That's an extensibility window where we have partners who build their native contact center solutions that utilize that extensibility window of the Skype for Business client. So there's no third-party software to install, or they might point it to a web browser as an example. But I'm happy to connect with you after the meeting, and I can get more of your details around the specific integration and maybe able to point you in the right direction.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Awesome. One other question? So ORTC, that's a great question. So you'll notice that when I didn't have the, when I pretended to not have the browser in, or the client installed, I was able to use the lightweight meeting join app or the Skype web app. Our plan of record at the moment is to always require the lightweight app if you want to be able to share content, if you want to be able to share your screen. There are certain scenarios that may be enabled to enable a lower bar for support without a plugin, and we're still trying to figure out what that looks like. We have a lot of options on the table. It's just a matter of identifying the right one and implementing that. But at the moment, we do require the lightweight app to be installed within the client. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you all for joining. Have a great day.